grace of God, I'll just share a few words with us this morning, even as we celebrate the resurrected Christ. You know, all too often, okay, for one of the title of this short exhortation is, Be to Me According to Your Word. That was the title I had, but I think the Holy Spirit is kind of directing in a different direction, so. And, you know, we all too often when we talk about Easter, you know, we talk about forgiveness, we talk about redemption. But throughout this service today, all we've been talking about, if you think about it, is the victory that has come through the resurrection. So Easter is as much about the remission of our sins as it is the victory Christ won for us and the victory we have. You know, that song we sang, it says that, you know, he arose a victor from the dark domain. He arose a victor. And that victory we also have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it is not, you know, he has forgiven us. He has washed us. And I thank the Lord for the choir for that song. You know, the blood has cleansed us, has washed us, for as many of us that are in Christ Jesus. We've been cleansed by the blood. Now we need to continue to walk in that victory. The victory that Christ himself, the one that became a victor by going to the cross. The victory he wrought for us. It worked for us. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be reading from the book of Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I'm going to read the first six verses from the Passion Translation. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 6. It says, On the first day of the week, as the Sabbath was ending, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jacob, and Salome made their way to the tomb. It was early in the morning, as the first streaks of light were beginning to be seen in the sky. They had purchased aromatic embalming spices so that they might anoint his body. And they had been asking one another, who can roll away the heavy stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? But when they arrived, they discovered that the very large stone was already rolled away. And as they stepped into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, dressed in a long white robe. The women were startled and amazed. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I know that you're here looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen victoriously." Hallelujah. "He has risen victoriously. Look, see the place where they laid him. He is no longer here. He has risen victoriously." Praise the Lord. He has risen victoriously. You know, the victory Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross started with submission and ended with submission. Now, if you look at the life of Christ, first you think about his mother, his earthly mother, Mary. And that's where that phrase came from. Be to me according to your word. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38. You know, in Luke chapter 1, the angel appeared to Mary, a virgin, and told her so many things. You know, you're going to have a child that will be, you know, a Holy Spirit conception. And, you know, she was thinking, how's this, how, you know, all these things you're saying, how's it going to happen? And in verse 38, after the angel explained to her that she'll receive a conception of the Holy Spirit. Mary said, "Behold your maidservant. Behold thy maidservant. Behold the Lord's bondservant. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. And, you know, we always sing that song. Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Let it be to me according to your word. Let's think about this a minute. You cannot be obedient if you're not submissive. You cannot be obedient if you're not submissive. For you to be obedient, you have to be submissive. You have to be ready to submit to the one that is giving instruction. And we see submissiveness in the life of Mary. If we paint the context, however you look at it, a virgin getting pregnant, not married, and coming to say to some folks, you know what, this is all the Lord's doing. I mean, we've all seen movies where someone will get married and they say, are you Virgin Mary? But in that context, this was not something that was, you know, acceptable. This was something that we talk about fornication in that time. A woman caught in adultery, they were ready to stone her. Talk less of a young maiden, pregnant. How would she? So you can imagine she would have faced a lot of challenges, and she knew the customs of her time, and she knew all that, and yet she was able to say, you know what, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. And that was the basis for the birth of Christ. Obedience, submission to God's will. And towards the end of his life, Christ himself, you know, you think about the episode in the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you look at Luke 22 and verse 42, Jesus Christ himself said something very similar. You know, when he was praying, he had been praying. He knew the challenges that were ahead of him. By the grace of God, on Wednesday, we saw the movie, Cold Case Christianity? The Case for Christ. You know, and, you know, that man was explaining that the flogging Christ was flogged. I mean, for some of us, that corporal punishment, for some of us that did not school in the UK, because it used to exist in the UK way back. But for some of us that schooled abroad, we know, you know, it was a norm to be flogged. In fact, I remember when I was in secondary school, they'll ask, do you want to be, you know, to be punished doing some physical punishment, or do you want to be flogged? Because we had gotten used to being flogged, it's a bad thing to get used to. But because we're used to it, we'll say, you know, we'll take the flogging and say, you're going to chest the flogging. And using horse whip. Okay, I went to a military type school. So they thought it was okay to just child abuse, however you want to put it. But it wasn't that kind of flogging. Literally, we're told that the whips that were being used were whips that had serrated edges, you know, attached to it. So with every flogging, it was tearing the skin off his back. He knew he was going to go through that. We're told that he was nailed to the cross with his hands up, making it difficult to breathe. And with every effort, he had to, you know, the challenges of that. He knew all that was coming his way. And yet, he was able to say, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Again, we see submission to the will of the Father. Because he submitted to the will of the Father, he was able to follow and obey the Father's commands and go to the cross, die for us, die for you, die for me, and he was resurrected. And that is where the victory comes from. Hallelujah. He says, "You who was crucified, he isn't here. He has risen victoriously. Our God has risen victoriously." And not only did he rise, he gave each and every one of us a commission. He gave us a commission. He said that if you look at that same Mark 16 and verse 17, it says, "And these miracles, these signs shall accompany those who believe. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Verse 18, "They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will be healed." It says they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. These signs will follow those who believe, those who have accepted him, those who have become children of the Most High God, those who have been redeemed, those who the blood has cleansed, those who the blood has made white as snow. Praise God. Praise God. We have a victory, and we can walk in that victory. You know, 1 John 5:4 says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Even our faith. So we have that victory through Christ Jesus. He overcame. And because he overcame, we too are overcomers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, in Philippians 2, from the fifth verse, we read, it says, "Have this attitude." Some version says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God." We're going to go to verse 11. It says, "But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming." Okay, I'm going to read it from here. It says, "Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider himself, consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bond servant." He emptied himself, "and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on the cross." He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. "For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Because he humbled himself, he became victorious. He was given a name that is above every other name. And because he humbled himself, he has a preeminent place in heaven. We're told that, you know, after he gave that commission, Jesus was lifted up into heaven and sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of the Father. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and there he is making intercessions on our behalf. He became victorious so that we too might be victorious. He gave us a commission. He said that, you know, we'll lay hands on the sick, they will recover. We will drive out demons by the power of his name. We will speak in tongues. We'll be supernaturally protected. That is the victory you have in Christ Jesus. The minimum threshold is that your sins have been washed away. When he went to the cross, that is the starting point. But Christ doesn't, and God doesn't want you to just stay at that point of, you know, my sins are washed away. I've been made whole. He has given you the power to trample on snakes and scorpions and, you know, to overcome all powers of the enemy. Praise the Lord. He says, nothing shall by any means harm you. That is the victory. That is the power. That is the authority that the resurrected Christ has given us. Hallelujah. So there is so much to be thankful for. There's so much to be grateful for. And my prayer is that, you know, as we go into this new month and as we move forward, as I always say, you know, I say Christmas is not every day. It should be, you know, it's not just, Christmas should be every day, not just celebrated on Christmas Day because of his birth. Similarly, the resurrection on a daily basis, as we go about our daily lives, you know, the victory that the resurrection of Christ accomplished for us, we need to walk in that victory. And as I'm saying this, I'm thinking of that scene, that song that said, I'm walking in power, I'm walking in victory. That should be, you know, that should be our daily lives. Because he died, you know, it's the Bible says he made an open show of the enemy. He overcame the grave. You know, Paul said, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Because he's alive, because he's no longer in the grave, we're victorious. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, I'd like us to sing a song. I don't have a song in mind. Choir, help me with a song. I just want us to sing and just, you know, let's sing and celebrate the victory that the Lord has given us. My Savior is alive, alive forevermore. The sting of death is gone, and now in him we have eternal life. Since Jesus is alive, sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, my Savior is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, my Savior is alive. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that your Son, Jesus Christ, accomplished for us. We thank you, O God, because your word says that whoever is born of you overcomes. We thank you, Lord, for your overcoming grace. We thank you, Lord, because your word says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That it was given a name that is above every other name. because of his obedience, even to the point of death. He was submissive, he was obedient to your will. And you made him victorious. And through him, we have victory. Father God, we pray that as we go through the rest of this month and the, you know, going forward, Lord, we will be submissive to you. We will be obedient to your will. And Lord, even as we're obedient to your will, as you gave Christ victory, we have victory in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the power, the authority that you have vested in us to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all powers of the enemy. We thank you because we already have this in us, because Christ went to the cross and rose again. We thank you, Lord, because you said nothing shall by any means hurt us. We thank you, Lord, for the hand of protection that is upon us. Lord, even as we go forward, Lord, we'll continue to walk in your power and the victory that Christ has given us. We give you all the praise, Heavenly Father, for we pray with thanksgiving in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.